Blog Talk Radio.
Fight.
Nah. You know, I'm getting a call in, and it's one of our guests, and I also see another guest join us, more or less a co-host. So we had a special guest coming in as well, but I think he dropped off the line and he'll come back. But our co-host is on here. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to make sure we get the story, everything started up in a minute. We're going to close this music out. I'm Dr. Loretta D. Smith, the host of Talking Real to You. And the title for tonight's show is Election 2020, Do or Die. However you see it, you can put it in any form you want to, and we're going to do some discussion tonight. Like I say, I had our representative on here, the guest, special guest, and wanted to share some things with him, and he tried to call me back. And I hope he just called back in on the line so we can make sure we have him on. He got some valuable points he want to share with us, and we're going to make sure we get his thoughts on here and let him talk with us. We also want you to be part of the show by calling in. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and we'll make sure we get you on the line so you can share your thoughts as well. Now, if you want to go to the web link, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. Then we'll make sure you are able to hear everything. And also go back and check out our episode. You also can check us out, and if you want to email us, talkingrealtoyou@gmail.com. You can tweet the show at The Smith Way Production, and also at Dr. Lorenza Smith with the number one, at Coach_L_Smith, at LorenzaDSmith15, and at Talking Real to You. You can get us that way. Now, let me start off by saying that we're going to share some thoughts tonight and have real talk tonight. It's all about talking about what's going to be happening tomorrow and also what's going on now. On the line, one of our co-hosts already joined us. Thank you so much, co-host. I want to make sure I give her that raving introduction. She hails from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. She's a retired educator, retired principal, retired counselor, just retired but doing a great work as a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, none other than Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
I'm doing fine. How are you tonight? We survived Hurricane Zeta because we had the remnants to come this way, so we've been through some things, but thank God we're here tonight.
Yes, thank the Lord. I was telling somebody the other day, and I shared this before I introduced our special guest as well, which is going to play a major part in our show tonight, Election 2020, Do or Die. I had a tree, top of my tree to fall down, and I heard a loud sound about 2-something in the morning. And when I looked out, I see the tree had fell about 3 feet away from my house. And it just fell. It didn't hit the house. It fell. Matter of fact, one of the top part of the tree came down and was implanted in the ground, standing at 10 feet tall. And I have another part of that limb or that top of that tree fell down. It is down, dug deep down in the ground. I tried to get it out, but I can't get it out. But it's by the grace of God.
He made
it possible that it fell 3 feet away from the house and didn't fall to the left, fall to the right. But God is so good. Thank you so much. And that's why we give him we just give him the praise right now. That's why I'm so happy to have this young man join us. We have a special guest, Scarlett Knight, and this young man was on our show previously. At the time, he was running for the House of Representatives for the state of Alabama, District 78, and he was elected, and he serves in that capacity right now. He's in a midterm point, but he's also now running for one of the most powerful seats in the state of Alabama, which is the state Senate, District 26, and he's looking forward to representing, but he's not only here to just talk about campaign, but he wants to share some things as well. As we talk about Election 2020, Do or Die, this young man is the godfather of my girl, my My girls that he knows, my girls, they come together. They call them Lauren and Lacey. Those are my daughters. He's been godfather. He's been close to our family, and we've been family for many, many, many years. And I'm glad he's the individual running for that seat because I know how important that seat. None other than the Honorable Kurt Hatcher. How you doing, Kurt?
I am so happy to be with you. My God, what with an introduction like that, I'm looking around for Brother Kurt to see where he is. Good God.
You're somebody, young man.
Somebody passed a love offering here. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah. We're going to make sure we get that passed out. I tell everybody, I need a little extra money to pay for the studio. So, y'all drop somebody off in the basket.
There you go. I want you to know that I did. I signed on at 7:27, and I was hearing the song Fight the Power, and I said, wait a minute. Am I signing on? Because I didn't want to be late. Because I wanted to be sure to share with your listening audience the importance of what's coming up tomorrow with Amendment 382, but definitely also the importance of somebody calling the White House and telling 45 that Montgomery County is about to vote him out of office. And they're about to send him back
tomorrow. Come on, sir. You know, and that's why we talk about election 2020. It's a do or die, and everybody needs to be at the poll. If you had an absentee voted, at that point, you need to be there tomorrow. Don't let the lie discourage you. Don't let people say you don't have a mask discourage you. Don't do that. You need to cast your ballot and do it as proud as you can. When you get that sign, say, that little thing tag, say, I voted, jump for joy because no change. It's coming because we have to fight the power. And that's why
we're fighting the powers in dark places and in principalities. And I do think that this is, as you have pointed out, with the passion that you're bringing to it, appropriately the passion to it, that this is the change election of our lifetime. And we cannot overemphasize that. There's so much on that ballot tomorrow. There's so much, and our vote counts. And if the vote did not count, then people wouldn't be so eager
to
suppress
to it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, I sit on the in the House on the Committee for Campaign Elections and Constitution, and almost every meeting, there is some agenda, some proposed legislation that's brought before us that seeks to take away our right to vote or to make it much more complicated to vote. And that's a fact. That is a fact. And so I've always said, and I think any of us know, can attest to this, if it was not so important, they would not be seeking to take that right away from us. So please get out there and vote. I don't care what. Just please get out and vote.
And do not be intimidated.
Yes. And look, let me say something about that. This whole notion of intimidation. You know, we won't be bullied. They don't know who our ancestors are. We are the birthplace of the civil rights movement. Rosa Parks statue stands only a few blocks away from where I'm standing right now. And she refused to be bullied. She stood up for what's right. And that's exactly what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to stand up for what's right. And for all those who voted prior to tomorrow, you stood up for what was right. Thank you. Thank you for doing so. Because
and
it's
John
so important
Lewis
to have
left
our folk out
blood on the Selma, the Edmund Pettus Bridge. His blood is still there. And
that's one thing
that he really wanted us to never forget. You must
vote. That's right.
The importance of it cannot be underestimated for this.
That's right. It cannot be underestimated. And, and in light of that, I want to say, if I may, there's a piece of there's a referendum on the ballot tomorrow that speaks to our children, that basically says that surely our children deserve better than what they have been receiving. And that's an opportunity to vote for a raise in our ad valorem tax. Now, that's an important piece for us, because all of this stuff that's coming out today, these messages that have been coming out over the last couple of days, this vote no on the taxes, Amendment 382, which is what I'm talking about, as I said this afternoon at the news conference, it will not cause your rent to increase. It will not create a problem for your being the tax, the cost of your car tax, which is the messages they've been sending out here, all kinds of messages like this. It will, however, get mold and asbestos out of our classrooms. It will equip our educators with the resources they need, and it will give our children the tools they need to pull themselves up out of poverty and help break the school to the prison pipeline. It will do that, among a whole host of other positive things. And so don't let anybody fill your head with this nonsense associated with, and even more hypocritical, is that this noise, is what I call it, is emanating out of Auburn, whose high school looks like it's a state-of-the-art facility. State-of-the-art school in Auburn's, and where they're spending $3,000-some-odd per student, while we spend per student in Montgomery $1,364. It's just wrong. And there's a moral case to be made when you actually look at those numbers and determine that you have schools like Mountain Brook City Schools that spend $7,000 per student. So the fact that our young people are out here, you know, as one guy put it recently, said, you give a person, I give you a child $5 and send them into Walmart to get me $50 worth of goods. There's something wrong with that. So our children need an opportunity to be able to go into classrooms that are equipped for the 21st century and not these poverty-stricken areas where, you know, what we experience at Goodwin Junior High School and some of our schools that are in such dire need of some sort of repairs and or basically just tearing them down and rebuilding them. So we need to help, and our people can do this. I hope our people will stand up, go out, vote for Amendment 382, because that's saying you believe in our children, and that's a $33 million injection into the school system that's desperately needed.
And as someone here in South Carolina who's in the upstate of the state of South Carolina, the one of the wealthiest parts of the state, in Greenville, we did a referendum several years ago where 100-some schools in this area were either new builds or 21st century, redecorate or reclaim schools to make them to bring up to par. And I can truly tell you, as one who was the principal of a $10 million facility and children in poverty, the facility and how it's equipped make all the difference in the world, because it says to those children that they are important, they matter, and that the same thing that someone in a wealthy part of town wants for their children, we want the same thing for these children. It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. I wish you would say that again, because I think, you know, one of the things that we ended up, you know, in trying to negotiate this bill to get it to the ballot, there are one or two things that really that bothered me about the amendment that was on here. And one of the amendments that was all but forced down my throat in order to get it to the ballot for our people to vote on this was that 6 mils of that capital funding, it would be capped at 6 mils out of the 22 that we hope to have, and for capital expenditures like buildings and stuff. And I have so many issues with that because of what you just said. Because an old professor of mine said a person cannot realize or may not realize your content if they can't get beyond your presentation.
Correct.
And so if a person walks up to a building that says that, you know, we don't really believe that you will succeed, as opposed to a building where at least the names of the people who have the honor and the distinction of that building being named for them, at least the letters are all there and not missing. Something as simple as that speaks volumes to kids about, you know, where they are and what kind of facility we're sending them into in order to educate them. And so
well,
we're
as
not
you
being
know,
stupid,
that Jamie
that.
Harrison is running for state senate, the Senate against Lindsey
yes.
Graham. And even Jamie is in another part of the state. He came from, I think he talked about initially about being in that I-95 corridor where
right.
the schools are 100 years old, crumbling, wires
That's
and things
right.
everywhere. It makes a huge difference. And you
huge.
Have to get serious about what it is that you want for children and what it is that you want for education of
That's
the
right.
children of America, all children, not just some,
all yeah.
but all.
Yeah.
So I applaud you for what you're saying about the proposal, and I hope and pray that the Alabamian public will come out and support it. In addition, I hope they will also support Senator trying to get back to the Senate. And I know that
Doug
he's
Jones.
In a tough race, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But this is someone who has not just been a gentleman lately on the concerns of black people. He's been there.
That's
and I
right.
hope and pray
right.
they'll come out and support him and stop letting a small minority of people run through gerrymandering and everything else, you know, the masses. We've got to stop this.
That's right.
The only way we're going to be able to stop it, we've got to come out and vote.
Absolutely, and
yeah.
I was with Senator Jones this afternoon
mm-hmm.
For a press conference here, and one of the things that you know we were talking about is these lies that Tommy Tuberville has been telling. And,
well, Tommy Tuberville
you know,
doesn't even know enough to tell lies. He's just not a smart
you know,
sounding person.
And
I've been following
the
politics in Alabama.
Well, the sad thing is that goes all the way up to the office of the president, right? And
right.
I think because what we've done is we've dumbed down everything. We've come down to the point where, and I'll say that I think it started, no doubt, in George W. Bush administration, where people said that you know they felt good about voting for the guy they felt they could have a beer with. Well, I'm not interested in having beer with the guy who I want that guy to be smart, who has
right.
opposed to a nuclear bomb, and the idea. Behind this has ushered in this age of anti-intellectualism where
mm-hmm.
people just feel like, you know, I feel this is a good person. We used to want the best and brightest that we have in our community representing us. And now it's just like this, whosoever will let him come or whoever
mm-hmm.
feels good about this. And we are paying the price for this. So I want to come back to something you just said. We still need to learn, I believe, that every life has value.
Yes.
Every life has value. And when we talk about education, we always want to talk when it comes down to black and brown kids about the achievement gap. But I don't believe that this achievement gap can be in any sort of real discussion with anybody who will not acknowledge a value gap, because that's what we're talking about here.
Yes,
there's
sir.
A value
yes,
gap.
Sir.
When you say that
value,
other
yeah.
kids should have access to the finest technology and resources and teachers, and that you want to just give our kids what you gave them in 1955,
mm-hmm.
what you gave them in 1960. It's wrong. And there's a moral case to be made for where we are right now when it comes to
Well, that. I also think that we're in a class gap, too. We,
yeah,
you yeah. know, when it's gotten wider because when the top 1% in this country controls everyone else based on their wealth of being billionaires and think that this is going to, you know, because I don't believe in trickle-down economy. We tried that under Reagan. It doesn't work
yep.
because greed gets in the way. And when you're greedy, you know, and I asked somebody one time, how much money do you need? You know, because you only got one lifetime. Are you going to spend all this in one lifetime? How much more do you need?
Well,
and
I have
he looked
news
at
for
me
you.
Like as if, you know, what do you mean? I said, I just don't know how much more is more. You know,
well,
when everyone below you is not anywhere near that, and we can't even get people to get a living wage. And yet still, we can give all this money to, even during the COVID money, that went to these people that already had wealth. And businesses have closed because they couldn't even get the money to keep their businesses afloat. And most of those are black. Black
Absolutely.
And brown people.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things I was talking to Lorenzo Bell a couple nights ago, we get these updates from economic forecasters. And I remember one about a month ago now where they were indicating to us that certainly, you know, updating things as it relates to this economy in the midst of this COVID-19. And one of the things that he mentioned was at the end of March, between the end of March and about the second or third week in August, the nation's billionaires amassed a profit of $865 billion. Mm-hmm. While at the same time, the unemployment rolls were edging closer towards 28, 30 million people. And then we were learning that 20% of the food pantries are down rather by 20% because our people are out here going to the food pantries almost like Depression era.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of the things I have said before, and I'll say it again, this is not sustainable. This is simply not sustainable. Even in our state, and no doubt there in South Carolina, that one of the things that we do know, and of course, obviously in our state here in Alabama, is that when we would not receive, rejected the Affordable Care Act resources, but decided that we would steal that money from the education fund to try to fund Medicaid, the fact is now, again, I say, there is yet another moral case to be made for expanding. It was the lack of that that created a lot of the issues, not only with health, but many of the fatalities surrounding this COVID crisis in this state. So we have upon us right now a moral reckoning. And the question is going to be, how will we course correct? What will that be? What will that look like? And we and tomorrow presents us an opportunity to really look and see what it will look like. If we're going to do the right thing and survive, as a human species, and that's not an over-dramatization, or are we going to continue down this path towards destruction? That's what's on the ballot tomorrow.
Exactly.
Well, as Joe Biden says, it's in the fight for the soul of this country,
yes,
for the soul of America, and we're at an inflection point for sure. And we're going to have to choose. Do we choose democracy and America and all her imperfections? But it's still America. You know, we're not perfect, and we still got to work, like President Obama says, we have to work towards being better at every election cycle. Or
Amen.
Do we go down this dark hole and continue to go down this dark hole, praying that America will choose, you know, a better choice?
Yes. I pray that will be the case. I pray that will be the case.
Yes. Before we go any further, let me make sure I introduce our other co-host that's joining us now. She's been on the line a minute or two, and she's out of the state of Florida. Boca Raton, none other than our friend and friend to be and friend forever. Lisa Levine. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm good. How are you guys?
How you doing?
Hello, Lisa.
Long day today. I'm going to have a long day.
Yes.
Awesome.
I apologize.
Yeah, I really appreciate you, Lisa, joining us. And we've been discussing pretty much. I really thank our special guest, House of Representatives from the state of Alabama, Kurt Hatcher, for joining us, and the Honorable Kurt Hatcher for joining us at this time, sharing some things about what's about to happen, what's in store, and to make sure not to call in, number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. I'll make sure I get you on the line, and you can ask questions or share your comments in regards to your thoughts about election 2020, do or die. To each and every one of you, I want to ask this question. It may not sort of be a question, but discussing electoral college. Kurt, if I could start with you, how important is this electoral college to this presidential election? Because some people don't even understand. They think popular vote is it, whereas the electoral college is what we've worked through to selecting a president to get that 270 votes. Can you share some thoughts in regards to that? And I asked Scarlett as well as Lisa to share their thoughts as well.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The Electoral College, which is a holdover, in my view,
from the South,
from the earliest version, well, the earliest versions of white supremacy and that ideology that props up and promotes it. I do believe that it should be, of course, disbanded. You know, we know what it was all about when it was put together. We know that the intention was to say that the average folk, not black and white, but definitely our people, were not intelligent enough to cast a vote for a president. They mostly had to be landowners, and we know that the landowners didn't have any melon in their skin. And so the idea of this Electoral College is, in my view, a heck of a throwback to the most depressing and most oppressive times in the life of the country. So, but the Constitution provides for this. I think it's Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2. And I do think that what they will do, if there is any dispute, and I'm going to claim right now, just as a matter of faith, that we're going to have the victory tomorrow with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, as the old folk used to say in my tradition, the pitcher will go to the well only so many times before it breaks. And I think we're there. But one of the things that that makes this Electoral College so troubling for us is that it could very well come to the fact that if the state of Alabama, for example, I think about 9 electors, obviously, if somehow some miracle occurred and the majority of those popular votes cast tomorrow in this state are in favor of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, if it's even raised, even if it's even a possibility that it's close, that those electors could very well go in December, I believe, early December, and cast a vote that would give it to Trump because it was so close. Or, obviously, we'll see what happened in 2000, and what they'll do is take it to the Supreme Court, and they'll end up deciding. But I think what should be happening is that we really should be looking at dismantling the Electoral College, because it's also unfair to so many of these heavily populated states who, for the most part, are limited in terms of their electors when it comes down to the actual number of people in states like California who also have to compete, and they only have 2 senators, and have to deal with a place like Wyoming and other places that have 2 and have significantly less individuals populating that state. So that's one way to at least express it to your audience about this night, this holdover from the beginning of this country. And if we're going to have any progressive move to do anything about it, I think we're probably entering into that time now to disband it.
The Declaration of Independence, when it was formed, and they had their first delegate meeting, in order to hold those southern states that were not in favor of abolishing slavery, in order to get the Constitution passed, they had to put the Electoral College in as a way of satisfying those members at that time. And as a result of that, this has been the model throughout all of our elections, presidential elections in this country. And I agree, it's a relic. It's time to go.
Yes.
Along with gerrymandering, that's another thing that needs to go. And that's why, the census, when you complete your census, is so important, because what has happened, these Republicans are outnumbered and they're still trying to hold on to power, but the demographics of the country is changing. It's no longer all Caucasian majority is becoming more browner as the years goes by. So we have to move. It's 21st century now. We have to take a look at all these things and see what reforms are needed. But in the 2016 election, you had folks who were electors who had been elected from those states that were won by Democrats who switched, even though the popular vote, who changed their vote. And that was contrary to how the state may have voted. Well, there have been some states who have since then, because they did that, have put into place that if you are elector to vote at the Electoral College, you must and you will be required to vote what your state did. If that person won that state, you got to go with that. Your vote's got to be cast to support what your state did. And that's how he won with the Electoral College and not the popular vote. And that's what some of this has been based now on, trying to run the inside straight again.
Hey, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Let's make sure you press 1, and you can be a part of this with Representative Kirk Hatchard, Scarlett H. Black, as well as Lisa Levine. You can share your thoughts with us, and we'll make sure we identify the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number. We want to kind of move forward now, and Kurt, I want you to, Representative Honorable Kurt, let's make sure we keep it there, keep it on that level. In regards
you,
to,
I see you working on that. You're working on that love offer, aren't you?
Yeah. You know, you never know something fall out the pot. But let's sort of look at what you was talking earlier about the referendum on the ballot for locally here in Alabama. How important it is that people make the decision to vote on it.
Yes.
Then, besides that, is the plan that was put together, was it the best plan? You're not challenging people what they did. I'm just saying, you know, the time frame is enough of motion to get that done. Are we at the point where some people going to end up voting, did not even vote for it because they didn't flip it over? You know where I'm heading about that flip over.
Oh yeah.
Share your thoughts in regards to that.
And that's a real concern because, you know, the way the ballot is set up, the way it's designed, you know, a lot of our people will simply bubble in all Democrats or, you know, all Republicans, dare I say, and they won't flip it over. They'll just vote for that. They'll just bubble in the, you know, I'm voting for all Democrats. But for the local ballot in Montgomery, Montgomery County rather, all of the amendments are on the back of the ballot. You'd have to flip it over, and there are 6 statewide amendments on there, and then there is the local referendum that's on there. And a lot of people are having problems with the language because the language of that local referendum is not a simple yes or no answer. It is set up so that you can say you either vote for, literally vote for, and then have some other language, and then vote against.
Yes.
So I've had quite a few people who've called and said, well, who've received absentee ballots, who've been saying, well, I don't know how I need to go with this because all of the other statewide amendments have a yes or no response. There's one here that says vote for, such, 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 da-da-da-da-da, and then vote against, da-da-da-da. So the language is somewhat convoluted, but I'm understanding that that's a constitutional requirement in terms of the language. And that's always a problem when you talk about this state's constitution, which is the longest legal document in the world. No, I'm talking about even over, even longer than Parliament of India. So, you know, so the problem with that is another issue in and of itself. And by the way, there is an amendment, one of the statewide amendments of the sixth, amendment number four, is the only one that I'm recommending to people to vote yes on. My colleague, Representative Marika Coleman out of Birmingham, is responsible for that legislation that's seeking to do something about the archaic language in that Constitution. Basically, that translates into racist language of the Constitution. And it's certainly one of the steps towards one day, hopefully, God willing, having an opportunity to have a constitutional convention to do something about what is deemed to be the architectural rendering of white supremacy, which is the 1901 Constitution of the state of Alabama. So we have a heavy situation for us to deal with that we certainly are in a position now, probably more than ever, to begin some process of course correcting in this state and hopefully in this nation.
Exactly. Also, the kind of and I wanted to kind of share some thoughts, and I know Kurt and I we talked in regards to this, and as he stated about the sixth statewide amendment, and then we have the referendum for Montgomery County school education, is the challenge of going through that. He said we check straight, but when we flip on the back, you need to read every one of them because you don't know which one unless you read it. And I think that was one of the things, because when I received my ballot, which I voted absentee, and I looked through it and I saw I had to read every one of them to give an answer and not to leave them blank. So this is one of the things that as you go to vote tomorrow, make sure you take time to flip it over. That's what the campaign has been, flip over and
right.
read those
That's
amendments.
Right.
And Honorable Kurt has mentioned that's particular, you know, if you just go on four, don't just go to four, just vote on yes or no on either one of them, but you got to either be for or against. That's something that's challenging
right.
some people. And people don't believe
Let me ask
it.
You a question. Do you have you had tools or training sessions or things that people can go to online to explain the language in the amendment?
Yes. And then, of course, obviously one of the problems you run into in this era, and that's really been most revealing, is the digital divide that exists in minority communities. So people who may not have the access due to COVID-19, obviously, normally these things prior to this this coronavirus, we would be discussing in churches, neighborhood meetings, all these kinds of things, because it's that important. But, you know, it hasn't been really well attended. And so that's been a problem for us. But, yes, to answer your question much more succinctly, we have done to the best of our ability, because those amendments are so important, and that local referendum is absolutely important. I'm proud to say to you all that over and against many challenges that went on in the last legislative session, that I authored that bill, that's on there as a local referendum to help our schools to have more funding, and it was very important to me. I'm a former educator of 17 years, having spent time teaching in Montgomery, and Atlanta, Miami. And finally, New York. And I can tell you without a doubt that one of the things you were sharing earlier about what happens when you have students in schools that communicate very boldly to them, communicates to them that they matter, that we believe in you, that we are envisioning a bright future for you, that those kids in those particular school settings, they may have issues and concerns when it comes down to not being able to interact with each other right now because of COVID-19 in terms of being in the physical space, but the infrastructure of those institutions is well prepared for those young people to do this with the technology they have. Most of the schools in Montgomery Public School do not have that, if not all. So we have to do better. And this is the effect of having the absolute bare minimum in school property tax. required by the state constitution. The minimum in the capital city that made it possible not only throughout this country but in many instances throughout the world to be able to recognize that love and concern for each other are not are functions of our humanity and not limited by race and place. That somehow or the other in 2020, the one thing that the thing that we can claim is that when it comes to education in Montgomery, we are willing to educate our kids to the bare minimum. So I am, you know, it was a fight to get it to the ballot, but it's a fight I would have again and again because I do believe, I believe with all my heart that we have to do better by our children. And we have to stop, and we have to stop saying that somehow or the other we have these failing schools, because that's another thing that creates a problem. When in fact we're not doing anything to encourage anything but schools having to work in ways that I think is unfair to them to have to compete with nothing. The bare bone minimum is almost as what Martin King says about when he's echoing this idea of pulling yourselves up by your own bootstraps. And he says how cruel it is to ask a person to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and they don't even have boots.
Come on, that says. The Honorable Kurt Hatcher has shared with us some very strong things in regards to understanding history. Some people, we don't quite understand history to the point that it's being taught, especially in our in schools now, and we have to understand that was some many struggles. These 400 years plus, we've been struggling, and we have to kind of not only just pull our bootstrap height, even though we don't have no pull our socks up on our legs. Do whatever it takes to move forward. We want you to be a part of this conversation as well. That's 347-857-4192. Press 1 and make sure you be a part of it. You can have a conversation with the Honorable Kurt Hatcher, Scarlett H. Black, and Lisa Levine, as well as myself. And we're just excited to have you on tonight, Kurt, as well as Lisa and Scarlett. And we just wanted to take a few more things. And I just want to get your thoughts, and I want all three of your thoughts in regards to we had our CARES Act the first round, and we know we had like 31 plus, close to 31 million people unemployed. And some of that money went toward to help them. Now we can't come to agreement. There was no agreement before this election. What exactly do we think needs to happen right now to help people who can't pay their rent, people who don't have any money because of unemployment, in some cases $120 or $130 because they $600 ran out in regards to some kind of relief. And I want all three of y'all to share your thoughts in regards to getting some type of relief that needs to be now. We can't wait 4 months.
Should have been done.
Yeah.
They just
we can rush through
the
Supreme Court, but we can't get people the relief that
they
want to
wait.
Yeah. So
I mean, they should have had and the wrong. You know what, guys? The wrong people too were getting the stimulus money. You know, the wrong. I've heard all sorts of stories down here. Some people got more than they should have, and people were getting money for, I don't know, these loans. One guy got caught in Miami. He was, like, buying a Lamborghini. Like, it's not being allocated. Not being allocated properly. And, you know, because I filled out things for my business, just my yoga program, not my private practice. I never thought people were like, file unemployment. No, I'm still have one business functioning. I'm not filing. It's not legal, you know, and that's not right to do to other people. But you can see the mindset, or at least down here. They just reopened the CARES Act, and they included law offices and some other businesses because they weren't included in the first round for some reason. So, you know, and then there's certain requirements you have to have, or at least here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the city of Boca was offering money, but yet it's A, B, C, and D. You could only live in this city limits. Like it was very, do you know what I mean, guys? Like read the fine red print, you know, or you can't get this money. But They should have been helping people with rent. They shouldn't wait till after the election to, you know, determine if they're going to give the stimulus money or more money out. And there are people that are homeless. You know, there are people living crammed into a house together. You got a virus going around. You know, there's got to be solutions, and I just don't think that it's being thought through, you know. And people are losing their businesses that because of this. Yeah, don't give money to somebody who's, what did they offer the Lakers? What was it, like $40 million or something? Did you hear that? And they gave the money back in Shake Shack. It was, you know, it was absurd amounts of money. So I know when I filled out that form, I put down what I lost, what I, you know, you, it was very concise on what you made. And, you know, maybe people weren't filling the forms out right either, right?
Well, like I said earlier,
too.
Money was also given to people who were already billionaires.
Yeah,
Lakers. And what happened was, we're giving you, to our listening audience, this is just background information. You know, everyone will have to decide, you know, how they will vote on various things. But you need to have the background information to make choices. And this is the only thing that we do on this show is give you background information on information that, you know, we understand that got us to certain points. So I want to, you know, make that clear.
Right.
There was an inspector general who was to oversee how the money and monitor this money being distributed to make sure that it was fair and equitable and that who it was intended for received it. If you remember, and this is a matter of record, he was removed. And there is no inspector general. There's no one monitoring where all this money went.
Right.
So as a result of that, you know, billionaires got this money too. Instead of the people that it really was designed to help. Also, there was a vote that they would not expand or extend the unemployment benefits because they thought that people making $600 on top of what they regularly would get with unemployment wouldn't come back to work. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, instead of just, and maybe there might be a few, but you know, that's, you know, unemployment is not a get rich quick scheme on its own on any town when you get unemployment. It's $600 on top of that to keep you from losing their homes, from being put out of their lodging or can't pay their rent, can't put food on the table. You know, there's a lot of hurting folks, and I think, Doc, you said there are 31 million people in this country who are, you know, really struggling. So this is what happened. And I just think that there are just so many things that, you know, when you have that kind of money and you can't see anybody else's problems or issues or you can't feel that compassion for your fellow American, there's something wrong with this. There's something wrong with this.
Agreed.
And I don't want to take money from anybody, but nor do I want to see people have to go through food lines and folks just trying to make ends meet. This is not the American way. It should not be. Something's wrong with this.
Yeah, there is a lot.
You know, I will say this in my response to it, and that is this. This lethal fusion of economic insecurity and cultural scapegoating under this pseudo-populist billionaire with these narcissistic sensibilities is literally tearing apart the very fibers of this country or what's left of this democracy. And for individuals, who are out there. Many of these individuals carrying this Trump-Pence flag. The assumption of irrationality, as if people who perpetuate racism don't know the damage they do, is absurd. And the absurdity of it is this, is that the vast majority of those individuals out there doing this, and especially those who are engaging in violence, bullying, intimidation, we would normally say these are people who vote against their own interests because God knows they need the help more, almost more than anybody else, they would claim, who are simply moochers off the government. But they need it. But they would prefer to cleave to their white identity because whiteness for them, as Cheryl Harris has said, is property for them. Those who are capable of claiming the label have a possessive investment in it. And so in our society where everyone, and because their thinking is this, is that in a society where everyone gets what they need, how will I know I'm better than they are? That's the danger and the toxicity of whiteness itself, especially for individuals who find themselves laboring under this. Because this economic system with this predatory lending and deindustrialization has ravaged communities all across this country. How can we justify one individual having $200+ billion in personal wealth? How can we justify individuals who are enduring all kinds of hurt and pain, as you all have eloquently stated, and somehow calling ourselves a Christian nation? How can we justify it? It's a false choice to me between calling out injustice and preaching the gospel. Because the burden of American Christianity is supposed to say something other than that. That we are our brother's keeper. That we are our sister's keeper. But this notion of Christian nationalism that has somehow come to the forefront again in the Trump era is all the more reason why people should be out there voting. Because more than Trump, I go after folks like Mitch McConnell. I go after Lindsey Graham. These are people who know better. They're sinister.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't care about the people. And there are these people who are somehow finding themselves behind these people, thinking that they will continue to prop up, which they will do, white supremacy at all costs, despite the fact that everyone around them might be falling by the wayside. They don't care. And as soon as those individuals out there will learn, as Dr. King would say, and I'm paraphrasing, that if we don't realize that we are tied to a web of neutrality, we will all perish together. And this is that moment, because I honestly believe that we are in a moral reckoning right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an opportunity, starting tomorrow, to decide who we want to be. This is a radical reawakening for us in America. And now who are we going to be? Because nothing can ever be accomplished if we find ourselves continuing to go down this present path. Not a single thing. Because we would have mortgaged ourselves and even more importantly, our children to absolute destruction.
Awesome.
Amen.
I'm sitting here now. I just thought I was sitting up, pull the basket out and you take an offering up, brother. Thank you so much.
Be lucky you guys don't live down here. Do you want to know what's going on down here?
Yeah.
You should see what's going on down here. Would you love to hear it? Okay.
Yes,
let's see. I bought enough food. I bought enough food so I don't have to leave my house for at least a week because there has been rally after rally at, I don't know, people on street corners. I've never seen anything like it, guys, ever. They're just flags and just signs and late at night and up the street from me. It's such an unsettling feeling to see this.
Wow.
I mean, I was coming back up from the beach, and on each corner of the street, there's, you know, which fine, but I've never seen anything like it. There's signs all over buildings. I got a postcard in the mail that said, if I don't vote, they're going to follow me the government is going to follow me and my voting record and my record. Can you believe this?
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Have you ever heard of this? I know people that got emails and postcards, and I saved it because my friend was like, you need to turn that into someone. That's harassment, and that's threatening to
yes,
me.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's the kind of thing. And it's the kind of thing.
What
that
do you
happens,
take?
And that's the kind of thing that happens in fascist regimes. You don't expect that in America. But this president,
no,
this
we don't.
President has unearthed. He has unearthed the worst element in the American character. When someone said to me recently, they said, "You know, we're better than this." And the one thing I said to him, I said, "No, we're not.
No, we're not.
We've had moments. We've had moments
obviously
when we've had
not
glimpses. We've had glimpses when we've been better. We've had moments when it seemed as if the racist smog would have disappeared and dissipated. But ultimately, to say we're better than this, no, we're not.
Mm-mm.
But we have an opportunity to be better because we have to. What we have to do, I think, is we have to stop glorifying that which is not glorious. Stop it. Stop saying to people that we're better. Stop talking about this exceptionalism when, in fact, what we're doing is revolting. And we have to have people who are not simply holding positions of leadership, but being leaders and speaking into this. Because these people are small group. They are minority who are doing this, who are engaging in these acts of intimidation.
Yeah, they're doing it by email. Yeah, email,
yes,
text.
But if the shoe was on the other
email
foot, if the shoe was on the other foot, you have all kind of blazes across this country. If the shoe was on the other foot, you haven't seen with all you can say because about Black Lives Matter and like the president says, we're no more and no less than anyone else. But all, you know, the lives matter, and our lives matter because of our history of what we've had to go through with our lives. And the bottom line is, if this had been the summer and things like this had happened, and we were voting, this place would be up in an uproar. But because it's
yes
not,
yes,
we're not out there, you know, stopping traffic on interstate highways. We're not out there trying to ride through neighborhoods and intimidate people. See, you know, like somebody said, you know, we're our ancestors are watching, but we're not our ancestors. We're not going to be intimidated. And
that's
it
right
really makes us angry. And this is what the backlash
yes
is coming. And also, we have so many people of goodwill in this country, regardless of race and ethnicity.
That's right.
You know, we got some real Caucasians and those of different ethnic backgrounds who are really decent people of goodwill.
Absolutely.
And they
absolutely
don't put up with this stuff either. So this stuff is not working. And if it was working, you wouldn't have this huge, unprecedented early vote. And tomorrow
exactly
is not gonna, is also going to be a heavy repudiation because people of goodwill, we the people, are going to vote. And we're not going to be intimidated.
Yeah.
You're not going to deny our right to vote.
No. No.
Exactly.
No. And I want to echo what you just said, because the real hope that I have is all of those millennials and a few generations Y and Z that I've had an opportunity to be in a classroom space with, and I've witnessed, as all of us have, that they're not a generation of individuals who have to be convinced around issues of race and place in the country. They are closer to a sense of the beloved community than we could ever have imagined. And they're individuals who have decided that they are going to have the full complement of this American experience and this American dream, and they are willing, let me repeat, willing to die for it if necessary. And so I have all kind of hope in these young people who are out here.
Yeah.
They are Black, they're white, they're all kinds of ethnic groups. They're out in the street. They have not stopped. When everyone thought they would lose attention, and go home, they've still been out in the street doing it.
That's right.
And I have all kind of faith in what they're going to do, because those are the true apostles of power. And they're going to bring things to bear because they won't be intimidated.
Awesome, awesome. I tell you. Yeah, you know, it's always good to be able to share our thoughts. And, you know, this is all about grassroots, block by block, and real talk. And we appreciate everybody that's taking the opportunity to share with us. Looking at Facebook, and I see people adding on. I see people on the line joining on. And this is what we're talking about. Tomorrow is about election 2020. It's do or die. You may not see it that way, but it is. It's going to be do or die. You're either going to show up and vote, or you stay at home. You can't have 60% of registered voters showing up for the poll, for the voting process, and the other 40% sitting at home saying that it don't matter how it is because I'm going to be fine. I had a conversation with somebody recently. I said those individuals feel that way. They feel like it don't matter. And the thing about it, we got to keep allowing the millennials. We got to understand the masses coming to young folks. You know, even if they're on the verge of making it move to the direction it needs to be moved to. That's one thing we have a plus in this situation. Those young folk will—they'll take to the street. If they don't—they're gonna find a way. But eventually, they become mature adults too as well now, and they're gonna have the knowledge in the fight where some others may have not had to fight like they have now. They have a different kind of fight. Like they said, they're not gonna give up. If whatever happens tomorrow, they're still gonna keep on grinding, and that's what it's all about. So. That's what this is all about, talking, you know, real to you about what's going on. That, you know, it's exciting, you know, and I do appreciate our honorable, and I do it over and over again, the honorable, saying with a class, her, we appreciate him
joining us at
this time, sharing some awesome things. You know, it's not really, you know, we put extra time always on here so we can to talk further, but we want to take this opportunity. I'm going to let each one of the individuals share some thoughts as we get ready to close out. Brother Curtis, if you want to just share something so our listeners can just encourage somebody, even if you absentee voted, encourage somebody else that haven't voted. It's a great opportunity.
Regardless of what it is, regardless of what it is we see out here, I'm reminded of what the elders would say. They say, we've already been through what we've come to.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another ugly moment that calls forth the best of who we are and what we can do. And so I think our listeners need to know, in these times, to even hope is too abstract, is too detached, is too spectorial. We must be hope. We must be hope, an active participant and a force for good as we face down this catastrophe. So we can do that, and one of the ways we do it is recognizing that there is some real power when it comes down to what happens at the ballot box. Do it for our children.
Yes. Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Brothers Kirk, for sharing an awesome thought with them, and we look to have an awesome turnout tomorrow. We had already had over 30-some million people that is absentee voted, which is all-time high. No one ever believed that, because early voting seemed like it went on certain states, but it went in all 50 states this time. And it made sure that everybody got out and vote early, so you want to deal with what's going on maybe at the polls in regards to the fear of COVID-19. And COVID-19 is still here, so we got to keep that in mind. But masks will be available for you. Everybody there have a mask. They'll make sure they have a shield on. Scarlett, you want to share some thoughts before we get out of here?
Well, again, we want to thank our listening audience for joining us tonight, and hopefully our discussion continues to motivate and inspire, and also to reflect and to think from whence we've come. We've come a long way in 401 years in this country called America. Yeah, we still got a long ways to go. But you can't get there by sitting out and not being engaged and not being responsible about our democracy, your democracy, because collectively it belongs to us, we the people, and we are the people. And as we say often on this show, block by block, no white horse is coming in to save us. We have got to get engaged. And just like our congressman tonight is talking about the proposal on the ballot in Alabama or in Montgomery that's going to help your local schools there and all these things, that's going to require votes in order to get it done. But also,
yes,
even after the election is over, it's going to require parents to get involved and engaged in demanding the best for their children's education. And we've said this on about every show that we've had for the last 2 years I've been a part of this group. We got to get up. We got to get up off our rear end and get engaged and get in the fight and start demanding what it is that we want. Do you realize that your power rests in the vote, in the ballot box? That's what people respect. If they think they're going to be voted out, if they don't think they're going to be voted in, we the people, we control that. And that's where your respect comes, when they know that you are a constituent, when they look at your record of voting and see if you are going to be able to support or not support. But if you never get engaged, you never get involved, and you don't get in the game, then the game is designed around you, about you, and for you.
Right.
Get in
the
game and let you have a part, be at the table of how things are designed you. And for doing that, you got to get out and vote.
Awesome. Lisa, you want to share some thoughts? Then I want to come back to Kurt because I want to talk, let him talk about the Senate campaign. Okay.
I'm going to briefly, just mental health, I guess, because I've been working very long days, very scared people. People are scared. They're anxious. They're depressed. Whatever the outcome is tomorrow, my hope is that we are peaceful and respectful to one another, and that we're going to have happy people and we're going to have unhappy people. But like I think we've mentioned before, you know, change, sometimes we have to come together in order to make change happen. And in order for that to happen, we have to be united. And I feel like we're very disconnected. And it's affecting people terribly. I mean, there's people that are really scared both ways, who's going to win or not win. And my hope is that things work out the way they're supposed to. Because, that's my hope. Just be respectful. Be kind. If it doesn't come out the way we want, then we do have to take matters into our own hands to make change, right? Change happens from within in order to be changed on the outside. So that's my closing statement.
Awesome. And Brother Kurt can come right now and talk about that Senate campaign we want, and the vote is on Tuesday, November the 17th. Thank you. You can close it out on your
back. Well, look, I thank you for that. Thank you. I'm so focused and have been so focused on, really supporting and getting our people out to support Amendment 382 for our kids. As Scarlett has mentioned about the things in North Carolina and South Carolina where just seeing a school building that's up to date and that offers people hope, that says that we believe in you, matters a great deal, not to mention all of the stuff that will go on inside that building, course offerings, resources that are available in the form of teachers and, counselors and what have you. All these things that are so necessary towards making sure that our children have the best opportunity at a solid foundation, educationally speaking. So all of that's very important to me. And to continue that work that has been a part of my platform since the day I ran for the House seat around education and economic development. I'm still seeking to do that in the upper chamber in the Senate. District 26 represents about two-thirds of the city of Montgomery. So ultimately, the person who sits in that seat really does represent the vast majority of Montgomeryans. We deserve to have strong leadership there. We deserve to have it because we did something here in the recent municipal election that has not occurred in 200 years. The city of Montgomery, for the first time, now has a black mayor. And, the joy of knowing this brother, who is like a little brother of mine and a close family friend, and knowing his heart and what he believes, what he seeks to do and is doing, means that he needs to have partners along the way to uphold his arm and help him to do a better job, an even better job than he is currently doing. And so I am seeking the seat in District 26. There are 35 senators in the State House, in the Senate, rather, and we are seeking to be one of those 35 to continue to do the work that we've started already in the House. So I'm hopeful that our people, both in my present district, in House District 78, which I'll still be representing the vast majority of in the Senate, will support us and will help me to continue to fight the good fight. So I'm looking forward to it. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Scarlett. Thank you, Lisa. And Lisa, let me say that my prayers are with all of us throughout this nation. My prayers are especially with those there in my adopted home in the state of Florida who are seeking to do what they know and believe is the right thing for America. And I pray that there will, this spirit of intimidation will not erase the level of courage that I'm sure individuals have already executed by voting early, but also those who will seek to go out tomorrow, and that we will come together at some point here in this country around the hopeful ideas that have made such a young country the beacon of the world. So we have a chance to do the course correct tomorrow. And I pray that all of the people will do what's right and accept the results and allow our country to move forward and heal. Thank you again, Lorenzo, for what you're doing. I appreciate it.
Thank you, the Honorable Kurt Hatcher. And make sure on the 17th of November, Tuesday, go to the polls and vote for Kurt Hatcher, Senate District 26. He's going to be our voice. He's going to be our voice. Again, thank you, Kurt, so much for joining us. Thank you, Scarlett, for joining us, and Lisa as well. And is at the point, we want to give a shout-out to those people who joined us on Facebook. We have a few people. We have Erica Pinard. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated out of Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, that area. Monique Sunshine Seaborn, thank you. Tay Pickett, and she's the author, the founder of Inspire to Inspire. Jacema Jackson, thank you so much. Regina Hill, thank you. Rachel Robinson, another member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, give her a shout out. We have Faye Treadwell Smith, member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. Thank you, Faye, so much for joining us. We have Denise Stephanie out of Berkeley, California, Behind the Mask Ministry. You can check out on Facebook. We have Winston Kelly O'Neill, my fraternity brother out of the state of Michigan. He's joining us today. Thank you so much. Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, former regional director. We serve in the international position in America, on the board of the international executive board of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. I was a southern regional director. He's a great lady. That's Winston K. O'Neill. We also have Annie Schubert out of McKenzie down there. Coach her. Her son and coach a lot of her family members, and she's joining down at McKenzie School. Thank you. My fraternity brother, Bruce E. Walls, Jr., he's working now up in the Jefferson County area, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Belinda Davis, congratulations to Corinna. She accomplished a great feat today and moving toward being successful in that field of education. And Belinda, thank you for the support. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And last but not least, our co-host who's joining us, we are on Facebook. Tandem that make up this father-daughter, none other than Lauren D. Smith. She's joining us, and she's a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We'll say thank you so much, each and every one of you all joining us. We had an awesome night tonight. We're going to check you out on Wednesday night with Talking Sports Plus at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. We're going to talk some sports. Then we'll come back on Thursday. We'll have the Love Cafe coming back at 6 o'clock. So we have an awesome rest of the week planned. We're glad to be in our new studio. We thank the Lord so much for blessing us, and thank you for being a part of this as well. So at this time, we're going to do our hashtag. Hashtag is communicate for understanding. That's what we're going to have to do so we can make sure we move in the right direction. Keep on grinding. Don't give up. You know, we just got to make sure if things go just all of a sudden end with just an election, we got to continue to grind. We got to make sure we get out and vote for the Honorable Kurt Hatcher on the 17th. Make sure we vote for him. Make a change in one of the largest districts in Montgomery as a senator. It's only 35. That makes that position a powerful position. So get out and vote for him on the 17th. Polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Check him out because he's all about honesty, transparency, and ethical. We'll give him a shout for that and make sure he gets there, and we'll shout again on our other shows as well. Then we also want to say hashtag responsible. Be responsible. We still have COVID-19. The numbers are still spiking. It's 1634 as of yesterday. So we got to not forget and don't practice our safety measures. Be responsible to your family members. Be responsible to yourself to stay around here a long time so we can enjoy the fruitful things that are coming in the future. Hashtag follow. We always say we try to keep everything on the up and up. And I'm going to make this a hashtag, you know, block by block. Hashtag block by block. So that's what it's going to be from now on. We're going to take it block by block. It's been awesome. Thank each and every one of those individuals who was on here live with us, our special guest, and the Honorable Kurt Hatcher, the illustrious lady of the blue and white, the finest womanhood, none other than Scarlett H. Black of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, and Lisa Levine out of that great state in the Southern Peninsula of South Florida, Boca Raton. Thank you all. But we're going to say what I always tell you, hug a family member. If you can't hug them physically, do it virtually. Give them a hug. Call them and check on them. And one thing, you make sure you tell them. Tell them you love them. Because, you know, we never know whether we're going to be seen tomorrow or not, but we got to let them know we love them. And finally, and I always say this to you as we close the show, I love you. That ain't a thing. Goodbye.
It's about finding a new experience with someone you never thought you'd meet. Who totally turns your life around completely, helping you get a job and keeping you off the street. Church on Sunday morning, eventually I'm saving money.